Thanks, Barrett. Well, good morning, Peninsula Bible Church. It's really my pleasure to be here with you today. I'm really excited, and I just have this sense of anticipation for what God is going to do in our midst this morning. I really believe that God has something to speak to each and every single one of us here. And so I'm just so thankful for the worship team as they ushered us into the presence of God, and just pray that God would speak to you this morning. First, let me say thank you to this church for being a partner of IJM. We really appreciate the support and that partnership. You know, my family and I have lived and served in the Philippines for about 5 years now. And during that time, we have seen God do some amazing miracles. And I'm just so excited to share those with you this morning so that you would be encouraged and also see how you have been tangibly partnering with IJM. You know, 20 years ago, International Justice Mission started as an NGO trying to do something that most people thought was impossible, and that is help justice systems in the developing world work to protect the poor from violence. Over the past 20 years, IJM has worked on thousands of cases of slavery and sex trafficking, child sexual abuse, and other forms of violence that devastate the lives of the vulnerable poor. And I'm happy to report that during those 20 years, through IJM-supported interventions in the developing world, nearly 50,000 children, women, and men have been rescued from slavery and other forms of violence. Praise God for that. With 20 years of experience strengthening justice systems, IJM has learned that our model actually works. It turns out that when you replace impunity with accountability, the violence committed against the vulnerable poor dramatically decreases. The Philippines is a perfect example. After IJM partnered with the Philippine government for 15 years, prevalence studies showed that the number of minors available for sale on streets and in bars, once notorious for sex trafficking, had plummeted between 75% and 86% in the cities where IJM worked. It was a resounding affirmation of IJM's theory of change, that when you take a situation where no one ever is held accountable for trafficking children and you replace that with good law enforcement, the poor are protected from violence. Today we're going to look at several scripture passages to see what God would have us hear about our role and your role in fighting slavery and injustice. The first passage I want us to look at is in the Gospel of John. It's in chapter 11, verses 1 through 6 and 14 through 15. It's a familiar passage, but I pray that God would somehow speak to us in a new and fresh way this morning, even as you hear a scripture that I'm sure you've heard before. It says this, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Now, Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. A few verses later, Jesus tells his disciples, 'Our friend Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe.' Well, the story of Lazarus is a story of bad news, puzzling news, and then good news. The bad news: Lazarus dies. Mary and Martha are grieving. It's the death of a loved one. It is family suffering. The puzzling news? Jesus lets Lazarus die. When he's told that Lazarus is sick, he stays put for 2 more days. Even though Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Scripture tells us in verse 35 that when Jesus saw the suffering, when he saw the grieving of the people, he was moved with compassion. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. I believe it was the compassion of God that moved him to bring good news into that story. God cried. And the good news that Jesus brought into this story is that he raised Lazarus from the dead. He showed Mary and Martha, his disciples, all the people there, and everyone forever through the scriptures, he showed us that he is powerful enough to heal. And he does it. No pain, no suffering, no illness, no injustice is too great for our God to end, to totally transform, to take something that's really bad and turn it into something that's really good. But for a moment, let's go back to the puzzling news. Because we like to ask the why question. Why did Jesus let Lazarus die? Jesus seems to give 2 reasons. First, in verse 4, he says, "For God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And verse 15, "so that his disciples, the people, may believe in Jesus." And I want us to hold on to Jesus' words throughout this whole morning as we look at some really difficult issues. If I could just paraphrase Jesus' words, it's something like this. I know it's really bad now, but something really good is coming. I need you to believe me. I need you to hold on to hope. There is good news. Maybe today you feel like, just a little bit like Martha. I don't know what's going on in your life or in the life of your family or your friends or your community, but maybe there is something that you too are grieving. I would encourage us to follow the example of Martha, who, although grieving and puzzled, puts her hope in Jesus. In verses 21 and 22, she says, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God can give you whatever you ask. Even now, God can give you whatever you ask." Do you hear the hope in Martha's voice? "I still believe in you, Jesus. It's not too late for Lazarus. I don't always understand your reasons, but I believe that you are powerful and you are good, and this story is not over." As we dive into the issue of cybersex trafficking of children, and as I share with you the bad news, I just want to tell you up front that there is good news. And the good news is that God is absolutely against cybersex trafficking. And he is powerful enough to end it. And he is healing and restoring survivors. And he is raising them up out of everything they've experienced. And he is gracious enough to use us, to use me and my team in the Philippines, to use you in the process. If, like Martha, we too believe and we put our hope in Jesus. And the truth is, there is so much hope. I'm excited to share with you stories of rescue and justice and restoration that IGM has seen on the front lines. And you can leave this service with hope and resolve to join us even more in this fight against slavery. You know, I've been in the Philippines for 5 years, and like Barrett said, the work that we're doing there is really difficult. It's something you're gonna hear about this morning, and it's really hard, and it's really painful to get up close to the ugliness of sin and evil and violence. But I also wanna tell you that the last 5 years have been the most life-giving of my life. I have never experienced more hope. I have never been more hopeful than I am right now. But before I get to that good news, you know, I gotta tell you the bad news. Because I need you to know the truth. I need you to know the urgency of the situation. And actually, the reality is that right now in our world, the situation is actually really bad. Right now, there are more people in slavery than at any other time in human history. Reflect on that for a moment. We grew up hearing about slavery as something that was in history, right? The transatlantic slave trade, and it was abolished. And it was, that form of slavery ended. But now there is a modern day slavery, and it is holding somewhere close to 40 to 45 million people in bondage. They are in rice mills, they are in rock quarries, they are in brick kilns, they are in fishing boats, they are in brothels, and some are exploited right in their own community. For the past several years, IJM has been combating cybersex trafficking of children, which is a form of slavery where traffickers sexually abuse and exploit children, and then they live stream that abuse to offenders around the world for money. I gotta tell you, it is the ugliest form of violence that IJM has ever encountered. And I actually can't tell you about it without just being honest and just laying it out. And right now we're gonna take a minute and just watch a short video that tells you a little bit more about this crime and what IJM is doing to stop it.
One of the commodities available in the internet is the exploitation of children. Cybersex trafficking. It's a modern-day form of slavery. They are able to demand the type of sexual abuse that they would want to see on camera. With $100, I can get kids that are under 5 years old to be abused by an older person. All the children out there victimized by this menace. We are coming to get you. One case at a time, cyber sex trafficking will come to an end. question is, when?
Well, unfortunately, that video is really heavy. And it's the first time you've seen it. Just give it a couple seconds to process. You know, that video is just a few years old, and it's actually already outdated in two ways. One, children are abused for far less than $100. And two, most people don't need a webcam and a laptop to commit this crime. Everybody's just using smartphones, as you would have guessed. And they're ubiquitous. They're all over the place. Even in a country like Philippines, even among people who may not have a lot of money, it just seems that nearly everybody has got a video-enabled smartphone with just enough data or Wi-Fi to live stream what they want to live stream. You know, according to the United Nations, the Philippines is the global epicenter for the live streaming of child sexual abuse. And as you can see from this map, it has spread like cancer throughout the Philippines. But wherever it goes, so do IJM and our government partners. We've supported rescue and arrest operations, prosecutions, and aftercare across the country. Authorities from the United States, Canada, Australia, Germany, the UK, and other countries routinely send referrals to the Philippines involving Filipino children victimized. And they know because it is citizens sitting in those countries in the comfort of their home who are directing and paying for the sexual abuse of children to satisfy their deviant desires or to record and share the materials with others. The ugly reality is, because of the demand for young children to be exploited, over half of the victims that IJM has helped rescue in the Philippines are only 12 years old or younger. And the ugly reality is that 100 of them that we've helped rescue are just 6 years old or younger. It's heavy. There's no way around it. One of those children that we helped rescue was Joy. She was 12 when a trusted adult began the abuse. And as she says here on the quote, "I was so scared, nervous, and confused. I didn't know what to do, but since we were already inside boss's house, we were left with no choice but to follow her instructions." You know, the abuse of children to create videos, photos, live stream is actually a global epidemic, and it stretches beyond the Philippines. The FBI estimates that at any given time, there are over 750,000 people online searching for child sexual abuse or exploitation videos or images or to connect with and abuse children. In 2018, every week, the U.S. National Center for Missing and Exploited Children received, on average, 353,000 cyber tips of suspected child sexual exploitation every week. And that's both online and in-person child sexual exploitation. And last year, more than 45 million image and video files containing suspected child sexual abuse were reported to U.S. authorities. Time for some hope? I'm pretty much done with the bad news part of my sermon. To be honest with you, there are times where I just feel like Martha. When I read the stories of the victims, when I hear them, how the children were abused, when I see the statistics, when I read their affidavits, I just utter this prayer, like, Jesus, if you had been there. Thank God for Scripture, because I don't stay in that place very long. I quickly find myself in a place of hope and resolve to work on the next case, because I am reminded of Martha's words. Her brother just died, and yet she has the faith and hope and resolve to say, but I know even now God can give you whatever you ask. Even now you can rescue and heal these children. Even now you can hold the perpetrators accountable. Even now, God, I know you can end this. When I'm hit with the reality of cybersex trafficking like you are today, I'm reminded that the God who raised Lazarus from the dead, the God who raised Jesus from the grave, is the same God that we serve today. Amen? And that same power is available to us. Ephesians 1, 19 to 20 tells us that same power that raised Jesus from the grave is at work in us. And I see the stories of healing and transformation and justice that God is bringing to reality week after week after week. And I tell you, that's what keeps my team going. That's why we are filled with so much hope and resolve. That's why I'm excited to fly across the world just to come and talk to you about this and encourage you to continue in what you're doing to make this a reality in the Philippines. You know, I haven't solved the problem of evil. But what I think Jesus is saying to me, to us, to you, is that we can focus a little less on the problem of evil and more on the opportunity to do good, because it is all around us. You see, Satan wants us to despair. But actually, despair doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help me, it doesn't help you, and it doesn't help them. Believing in Jesus, hope, our prayers, you know, our collective, tangible action, they are what make the difference. They are what change the reality on the ground for real people in Cebu like Maria. 2.5 years ago, and I remember the day as if it just happened. You know, the IJM team had been supporting Philippine police on this investigation for several months, and the day of operation had arrived. And as we pulled into the neighborhood of the suspect that morning, it just reminded me of many other poor Filipino communities. Crowded houses, mothers, aunts outside, washing laundry by hand, children running around, playing youthfully, playing with whatever they have. Our goal that day was to support the police and social workers in rescuing a 15-year-old girl and arresting her trafficker. Like many cases of cybersex trafficking, this one started with an international law enforcement referral. And it started because Australian police had arrested a citizen in their country who had been directing and paying for the live sexual exploitation of children. And they were able to, based on their investigation, identify his supplier. Turned out to be a 54-year-old woman living in Cebu. And one of their mutual victims was a small 15-year-old Filipina girl. Now the good news is, on that fateful day in 2017, Maria's nightmare of abuse would end. She would be rescued by Philippine police and IJM. During her interview with IJM lawyers and our police partners after rescue, Maria said something that our team will never forget. In the local language, in her own words, she said, "The rescue was the happiest day of my life. I have been praying that the abuse would stop. I don't know how to describe to you the moment, the day after the rescue operation, when me and my team are in the conference room and we're just sharing about the operation. We're sharing about the challenges and the obstacles, about the miracles that God did, and about what Maria said. And man, I gotta tell you, you would have heard a pin drop, because we just looked at each other and some people were in tears and others would said, oh my gosh, Maria is such a strong young girl. I can't believe she said that. She seems so hopeful. It's like she's been praying for this and God answered her prayer. And right now, Maria, and since that rescue operation, she has been in the aftercare home. One of IJM's aftercare partners is caring for her. She's doing well in school. She's mustered the courage after counseling and therapy to tell other people in her family about the abuse. And most of all, she's no longer being abused. She's a smart, empowered young woman. I saw her earlier this year when I went to the courtroom where her trafficker was on trial. And I want to tell you that the good news is that today, everyone in Maria's community knows that if you abuse children in cyber sex trafficking, you will be held accountable. And those children will be protected. Because earlier this year, Maria's trafficker was convicted in the Philippines and sentenced to 15 years in prison. And every single media outlet covered this story. And I was there to see Maria's courage and kind of in a way to see her healing take this big jump. Honestly, Maria is just such a smart and empowered young woman. One of the things that she said to the trafficker is, I forgive you. There's something about that. In that moment, our team just kind of, we saw all these things happen in this moment. We saw justice being done for Maria. We saw the trafficker being held accountable. We saw the community hearing and knowing that God loves these children so much that you just can't abuse them. You just can't keep doing it. You have to stop. But we also saw forgiveness. We also saw God's mercy just shine through. We saw hope. Hope for Maria, and one day also God's hope for her trafficker. During the investigation of Maria's trafficker, Philippine police were able to identify additional evidence that, and they were able to locate another perpetrator in Australia who was also one of the people who was directing this abuse. And what IJM did is we helped them prepare and send out a referral to Australia. And thank God, that perpetrator was ultimately arrested, also convicted and sentenced to 17 years in prison for his role in Maria's abuse. The good news is that kind of collaboration is now happening all the time. And IJM has been pioneering this kind of international law enforcement collaboration to try to combat this crime globally. Please pray for IJM as we seek to leverage our experience in the Philippines combating cyber sex trafficking by developing a global hub that will fight this crime in other countries and regions of the world. You know, the story of Maria's rescue and restoration and justice is close to our hearts, and praise God, it is becoming a common one. IJM has already helped police rescue 527 victims of cyber sex trafficking in the Philippines, and more being rescued every week. 224 traffickers have been arrested and 69 of them convicted just in the Philippines. And there are so many more survivor stories that I could tell you if we had all day or all week, but I only have a few more minutes. So let me just tell you in their own words, which honestly, the more I do this work, it's the words of the survivors that are just so precious. So I can tell you about Cassie, who says, "I am now starting to dream again. I am a human trafficking advocate, sharing my experiences with others. I believe in empowering women and fighting for the rights of the child. This is one of the things I am thankful for after being a victim. I see myself as victorious," she says. Or Joy's story, "I have now found my voice. I won't let anyone abuse me. I won't let what happened to me before happen again. I am now willing to fight." Or Marge, who encourages you, "Do not grow weary helping those like me, children who need protection, and to those who support in other countries. We are very thankful for you. Don't stop helping." And while I can't take you today on a rescue operation, I do want to take a minute and show you a video of actual photos and videos from actual IJM rescue operations so that you can see and feel the hope of the moment of rescue. That powerful video is part of the good news that God is bringing, and that gives us tremendous hope. And frankly, I think that Jesus knew that we would struggle with the death of Lazarus, or with the reality of cybersex trafficking of children, or suffering that you see and experience in your family or in your communities. And so over and over again, Jesus gives us, and he continues to give us, including, I hope today, two things. Plenty of examples of hope and his power at work, and simple instructions. So that in the middle of our confusion or pain, we would remain steadfast and know what to do. So I've shared with you the hope. Now, what are some of those simple instructions for us? Let's start with the simplest one, Matthew 7:12, where Jesus says, "Do to others what you would have them do to you." Well, we don't have to guess what we would want. If we were in Maria or Joy's shoes, we'd want the abuse to stop for us, for others. We'd want justice. We'd want healing. Still keeping it simple, in Luke 10, Jesus says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And a man asks, "Who is my neighbor?" And we know this familiar story, right? Jesus tells the story of a vulnerable person who is beaten and robbed on the street. That vulnerable person, whom you and I have never met, who the people in the story have never met, who isn't their literal neighbor, and who, by the way, is a victim of a violent crime, an injustice. That is your neighbor. That is the person I am calling you, I'm instructing you to love and care for as practically and tangibly as the Good Samaritan does. More simple instructions on what we're supposed to do in the face of suffering and injustice come again from Jesus in Matthew 25:34-40, where he says, "The king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come,
you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. When did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? When did we see you naked and clothe you, Jesus? Whenever you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. In many ways, Jesus' words in Matthew echo the prophet Isaiah, who in Isaiah 58, 6 through 7 says, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them." Hope and simple instructions. And if I may for a moment, as I'm getting towards the end, if I may for a moment linger on this instruction of Jesus and the prophet Isaiah to clothe the naked. Because it has a very practical application for what we're talking about today. You see, as I've gone to support our government partners on rescue operation after rescue operation, were young children who were forced to strip naked were rescued and they were clothed. Literally, shawls and clothes are placed on these children so that they can be rescued in dignity. IJM, our government partners, the police, the Philippine government, and everyone who supports that work is literally clothing the naked. How amazing is that? Praise God for that. These aren't just words in Scripture. They have real, practical application right now for our generation, for our time. And think for a moment what that nakedness means. It's not simply lacking clothes. But in the context of exploitation, nakedness means shame, embarrassment, feeling worthless or only worth what the next offender is willing to pay to see you. So when we together, collectively, this church, churches around the world, individuals in this church, individuals around the world, IJMers, when we come together and we help rescue and provide aftercare and justice to survivors of cyber sex trafficking, we are not only clothing the naked with shawls and clothes, we are helping survivors take back their God-given dignity, their self-worth, their safety. And that matters so much to Jesus. Jesus so identifies himself with these children. He is so moved with compassion for them. He says, when we help them, it's like we're helping him. It says Matthew 25, what you do to them, it's like you did it to me. You know, Mother Teresa is quoted as saying, I see Jesus in every human being. I say to myself, this is hungry Jesus. I must feed him. This is sick Jesus. This one has leprosy or gangrene. I must wash him and tend to him. I think she was onto something. Because if you take Matthew 25, what you did for the least of these, you did it to me, and Luke 10's the Good Samaritan story together, if you take those two scriptures together, it seems that what Jesus is saying is, who is our neighbor? Jesus is our neighbor. Who is naked and in need of clothing? Jesus. Who's the man robbed and beaten and then cared for by the Good Samaritan? Jesus. Who are the children made to strip naked and abused by violent criminals in Western countries and the Philippines? When we find them naked and clothe them, they are Jesus. He loves them so much. It's just as if we clothed him. When we love them, we are loving him. He somehow feels it the same. This time, I'd like to invite Frank up. And so, knowing Jesus, I am sure that there is more good news in this fight against cyber sex trafficking, in this fight against modern day slavery. When we, like Martha, put our hope in Jesus, we will step into that story, his story of good news that is playing out right now all around us. Jesus prayed to the Father, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Yes, we have our eternal hope. Yes, we know that perfect justice will come in heaven. We know that one day God will wipe away every tear. There will be no more cyber sex trafficking. There will be no more suffering or illness or sickness or pain. But guess what? Jesus is not waiting until eternity to bring that good news. He's bringing it now. He wants us to be part of bringing it in right now on earth as it is in heaven. When we put our hope in Jesus, we will step into that story of good news that brings tangible relief to people in slavery. Like Martha, me and my team in Cebu, we turn to Jesus every day in prayer to see him raise the dead, to see him take young, beautiful lives that have been devastated and watch him transform those lives. We watch him intervene. We watch him bring and begin that process of restoration. We see him work these miracles in the lives of survivors every week. He is still raising the dead. And there are so many more lives that he is waiting to raise. And so I want to invite you individually, as individuals, or maybe as a couple or as a family, I want to invite you to take another step with IJM in ending slavery by becoming an IJM Freedom Partner. It's an easy opportunity and a great first step. By giving $24 or more a month, you can take a stand to protect these children from slavery. You don't have to travel all the way to the Philippines to do it. Becoming a Freedom Partner is so much more than just giving a donation. You are literally partnering with us. And so IJM will send you a welcome packet, exclusive news stories. You can connect with other Freedom Partners right here in the Bay Area in your community. You'll learn more ways that you can be part of ending slavery. You know, our opportunity to do good. Our opportunity is to marshal all our prayers and our connections and our talents and our resources to usher in God's kingdom. And as it comes to justice, to usher in this global revolution to protect the poor from violence. And that is why I love being part of the IJM movement. That's why I invite you to join us as a Freedom Partner. Because everything we're doing is working to bring that kind of transformation and relief to millions of people around the world, people made in God's image. Yeah, Lazarus died, but he didn't stay dead. Yeah, cyber sex trafficking of children is ugly and big and real, but it doesn't have to stay that way for long. God is in a hurry to end it. So let's join him as much as we can, as soon as we can. Amen. Thank you.